welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Well, welcome and namaste, beloved ones, to the voice of passionate action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Shri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you now.
Right now. And whether you're grabbing us live or finding us in the archives, just trust this is the perfect moment because this is a really special show, Shri. This show is kicking off a month-long series of healing ourselves, healing our world. Because August, especially August 2014, and again, no matter when you grab us, August 2014 is a powerful, powerful month. This is a month, we have been calling this a month of heat. And if you have not yet checked out the revelations we posted at YouTube, get to our YouTube channel, Official Shri and Kira, and watch the video. A lot going on.
Because truly, August is not just about physical heat. It's about a heating up of the energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the archangelic realm defined the word heat, you know, H-E-A-T, as the hologram expanding and turning, transforming. Huge month, big energy, and a supermoon, the second of three extraordinary supermoons, August 10th. And it's the biggest of the three. So, woohoo, big energy.
It's a lot going on in this month, and we invite each and every one of you to use that as an excuse to take good care of yourselves.
If you need an excuse, let's use that one. Okay. All right. I don't know that I want the excuse, but if I need one, I'll take it.
Well, we need reminders from time to time because I know for myself and many people, we tend to get immersed into our life's patterns.
Yeah.
And it's critical, especially this month, that we use those practices that bring presence back to our lives, that we interrupt the hypnosis and stay clear on our awakeness.
Well, you know, Shri, I love that you're saying that because also in the Archangelic Ensoulment that has already been posted at YouTube, again, guys, hit Official Shri and Kira at YouTube. Go Official Shri and Kira. The Ensoulment was very powerful because they talked about the trauma, healing the trauma imprint. And August, this is why I'm so excited. We have such amazing guests the entire month. Every show this month is filled with extraordinary guests. And the reason we really kind of put this powerhouse month together is because August is a powerhouse month where we're going to be faced with big choices. And it begins with healing the planet as we heal ourselves.
You know, there is no separation. And it's essential that we remember that everything is mirrored. And as we take better care of ourselves, we simultaneously have greater energetic resources to take good care of the outer world.
Absolutely.
And those that are in our outer world.
Well, absolutely. And I want to remind you all that today's show is about indigenous healing and spiritual evolution, something that's very near and dear to our heart. Of course, living down here in Guatemala and working with the Mayan indigenous daily, this is a very powerful show for us, and we're very excited about it. And I want to just share that as part of today's show, of course, we're live. So remember that you can give us a buzz. You can get in the queue. Just call 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. And if you call, get in the queue. You get to listen to the show while you're on hold. And if you call and it's busy, it just means the queue is full. So just as soon as you hear us take somebody, call in again.
And speaking of getting in the queue.
And calling.
You know, we're doing something we have not done in quite a while.
Quite a while, yeah. I'm really excited about it.
Coming up this week on August 6th, we are holding a global telecall that is not only a teaching moment, but it is a global meditation for personal and planetary healing. And this coming August 6th.
It's actually more like a ceremony, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's meditative, but what I love about this call, and I'm so glad we're doing it, is that we do these every month. Every month we, that's the first Wednesday after the ensoulment's been delivered, we meet with our miracle team and do an extensive talk about a teaching, really, because it's live and we take live questions while you're on the air, on the call with us. and we explain more and we go into depth more and we share, and together we vision co-create an extraordinary miracle energy. And this month it's open to the world.
And that miracle energy is part of what a group, a membership group that we call our miracle team. And
yes,
these people envision and work together. And so this month, as Kira shared, we're opening this to the world. You can join us, be part of the miracle team, call
yes
in the miracle energy, contribute the miracle energy, and look at the synthesis and synergy that will reveal its gifts to you.
So if you're catching us live right now today or before August 6th or even the day of August 6th, send an email to support@selfascension.com. Again, that's support@selfascension.com. This call will be hosted live at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, USA. We think we'll be on about an hour, and we can handle up to about 500 people, and we still have some slots left. So get in, give us an email. Let's
it's
get you on the call. Oh, it's going to be amazing. And we're so excited because it's August. We're here. Healing, right? And that's what's so exciting.
And one other thing, while we're on the subject of healing, many of you may remember we talked about this a few months ago when we released the ebook, Kira's Cure.
Whew. Thank you all for the feedback and response to that. Wow.
That Kira and I went through a transformative period that really...
I love that's such a gentle way to put it. I can hardly wait to hear about our guest experience, too.
Well, let's just say that when the body begins to shut down, when significant things happen, it affects everything.
Yeah, and when you have the world telling you you have lupus and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and possibly rheumatoid arthritis, you're forced with a lot of choices.
A lot of less than inspiring stuff that really created the gateway to living from inspiration,
yes,
rather than losing inspiration.
Yeah.
And Kira's Cure is a 99-cent ebook that will delight you in terms of lifting you through your own personal challenge.
And you know, it's a great month to dive into Kira's Cure because it's not only about physical healing, it's about our emotional, spiritual journey on this planet. And this is why we were really called to make it available for 99 cents. You can grab it at Amazon on Kindle. You can click on a link right here at Sri and Kira Radio. You can click on a link at BBS, wherever you want, grab a copy of Kira's Cure and share it. It's a really powerful read. And I think here in August, probably more powerful than ever. And you know, Sri, I love today's show. I love our guest. I love what we're talking about because, I mean, you and I moved to Central America to live this life and to be here. And so Indigenous healing and spiritual evolution, you know, they are one and the same.
Absolutely, because the indigenous are carrying in their memories something that those of us in the developed world seem to have set aside or forgotten.
Well, and they also seem to have, and I'm curious to hear how our guest responds, her information on this, but I know that the Mayan that we work with, they're very deeply connected to their cosmic roots, very deeply connected to their cosmic heritage, especially the high priests who we have the honor of working with.
Absolutely. So let's share a little bit about our wonderful guest. We're delighted today to... joining in the conversation with Robbie Holtz, who is an international speaker and an award-winning author.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she is really a champion come forward in the body, mind, spirit, wellness arena, and with her husband, Dr. Gary Holtz, co-authored an award-winning book entitled Secrets of Aboriginal Healing,
Woohoo!
A Physicist's Journey with a Remote Australian Tribe.
What a great title.
Oh,
I love this title.
That's provocative
I love it, yeah.
I want to see the scientists get down on the earth.
Because yes, you do.
and here's where our hearts really open up in terms of the sincere journey.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie healed herself of hepatitis C, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue syndrome.
Woohoo! I'm clapping.
Using Aboriginal principles.
Because I know, I didn't have the hep C, I had the lupus, but I know what it's like to walk through these energies and do it without traditional medicine screaming in your face.
Absolutely. And she worked in healing ceremonies with the Outback Aborigines, and she's very committed to teaching their ancient wisdom to help awaken the innate healer within each of us.
Mm.
And so for the last, looks like dozen years, she's been on this path of speaking at conferences and engagements, offering workshops on holistic health topics, and she brings her clarity, humor, and inspiration throughout the world. And
well,
today,
let's bring it here.
She's right here
well,
with
us. Well, let's bring it here. All right.
So, Robbie, we're delighted to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. You two are fun. I love it.
Well, if it isn't fun, it's not worth doing.
Exactly. And we're so delighted that you are here with us today. I have to ask, how did this happen? How did this come about in your life? I mean,
we're going to need a recap.
We need the recap. Our listeners are going, okay, tell us how this happened for you. How did this come forward?
Well, you know, I didn't go down this path on without kicking and screaming like a lot of other people. I ended up with a blood transfusion when I delivered my son back in 85, and it had hepatitis C, and the hepatitis almost killed me, and then they put me on an experimental treatment back then. They didn't really have anything. They didn't even have a name for it. They called it non-A, non-B. So they sure as heck didn't have a treatment or any kind of cure. And then that treatment, experimental treatment, almost killed me. So twice I survived. But then at that point, Western medicine had nothing for me. They had nothing to offer me. And I couldn't even get out of bed. I couldn't finish a sentence. I was really in bad shape. But I had a little boy that I knew wouldn't remember his mother. I was too, you know, he was too little. So I was determined, like you, Kira, to find answers. And I was really kind of surprised that when I started looking, there are so many answers out there beyond Western medicine, and was determined to not only survive, but to cure it and heal it, which is exactly what I ended up doing. I ended up healing it, and I've been tested, and I haven't had it for a long time. It's cured. Even though the doctors said at the time, you can't cure this. You'll have this the rest of your life.
and yet this involved getting on an airplane and flying to another continent.
How did that come about? Because I love how you said this. You know, the doctors said, I mean, they said the same thing to me. It's like, well, you're never going to get rid of this. And I was like, well, you know, that's a perspective. but how did this kind of coincide with the Aboriginal healing? How did this all come together for you?
Well, now that actually came later, but you know, but I like what you said about the doctors. I mean, they only know what they know at the time, and if I had listened to that, I don't think I would have lived another 5 years. I really think I would have just succumbed to that. So, if nothing else, I want to give our listeners hope that there's tremendous help out there and available, and that most of us are not supposed to be sick, and we have the ability to heal. That's my big thing, is waking people up to they have tremendous innate abilities to heal. But the actual Aboriginal aspect happened after I had cured myself. I was invited into Aboriginal ceremonies in the Outback 2008, well after this had happened. But I found out that from my husband, who went into the Outback, and he came back with their healing secrets, and that's a pretty extraordinary story. But I was using, not even knowing it, I was using the exact same principles that the Aborigines tell us that we need for healing. So his story is, he was a scientist, an inventor, a physicist, very much immersed in the black and white, which, as Sri is well aware what that looks like. You know, you're not open to these other possibilities, because you mentioned that earlier in the show. So Gary had multiple sclerosis. He was a quadriplegic for 7 years, which meant he had no feeling from the neck down and very little movement. And the doctor said, you know, at some point the organs are going to start deteriorating. And so they gave him really a death sentence of he had about 2 years to live, but he actually had about 6 months. And so he happened to meet a woman who was a naturopathic physician from Australia who said, well, the Aborigines that are remote in the Outback have remarkable healing gifts. I know how to get in touch with them, and I think they can help you. And this is all described in the book, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, how it was a number of synchronicities and an absolute desperate motion to survive, or feeling to survive, that got him into the Outback. And he spent...
Well, let's pause there for a second, because I'm excited to be listening.
Absolutely.
An absolute desperate motive. You know, I want to ask you, did you hit that place also where you were willing to kind of break the paradigms?
That's exactly what it took. And that's the first step to healing from the Aborigines, is a willingness. I had to be on my deathbed the second time, where I was willing to make some changes, willing to see things differently, willing to realize that I needed to make some real changes. I had been on this high, overdriven career path, numb to my body, not paying attention to it, certainly not listening to the spiritual path at all. And I'm really grateful that that happened in my early 30s, so that it changed my life dramatically, and that I could... it put me on this spiritual path. It put me awakened to the fact that I'm a soul having a physical experience, and that this is a beautiful, blessed, sacred vehicle to be, using this body of mine. And And but importantly, recognizing what kind of emotional stuff that I was immersing in daily, what kind of thoughts I was feeding myself that were creating this problem. You can say,
well, you know, Robbie, I want to jump in because that is exactly, I love, love, love that you're bringing this up right now, because especially in this month in August, collectively, we're seeing the world numbing themselves, bringing themselves to the brink. People are throwing around lots of fear-based energies right now. More and more people are getting sick, not only physically, they're sick emotionally, they're sick spiritually, and more people are seeking answers. And, you know, I giggle as I'm listening to you, because there is a blessing for you and certainly having had this happen in your early 30s. I was 29 when I died of cancer. I literally worked myself to death.
Exactly.
And so what we're doing is waking up through the density, as we call it. But what we're also doing is modeling the post-awakening, meaning that it's not just enough to get to the breaking point. What do you do once you get there, and how do you move forward? And I love how what you're sharing. I love your husband's story, what you're sharing. I find it fascinating that the two of you were kind of like converging in this.
You were having the same experience separately.
Very, exactly. Very, very fascinating.
And using a different backdrop, because the one thing I've learned on my path is we have to get to that moment of surrender, or the shamanic death.
Right.
And at that point, the void, the creative resources of the universe are at our disposal.
They really
but
are.
But we can't enter into that creative arena with our ego and our patterning.
So true. And so I love what you were saying right before I jumped in about, you know, we are obviously spiritual beings having the human experience. And, you know, what I love so much is that we are the co-creators. We get to enjoy it all, even though sometimes our bodies and our emotions might not think it's a lot of fun. So let me ask you this. Your husband, you were talking about how he wound up, how long did he stay? And was that what then inspired you to go, or how did that all come together?
Well, this was back in 94 that Gary went into the Outback, and I didn't know him until 2001. So, you know, but it comes back to what, you know, we were talking about. How bad does it have to get before you're willing to make some changes? And obviously it had to get to the point where he was told he was going to die before he was willing to open up. So he went into the Outback in his wheelchair, you know, literally, and lifted his cargo off the plane, and nobody would go with him. They thought it was crazy. It was insane. But he was kind of his last desperate act, and so he went and stayed with them for actually only about a week. And in that time, he came back with feeling in his body, which he hadn't had in 7 years, the ability to move. He clumsily walked down that airplane aisle on the way back, supporting himself on the seats, but just dramatically changed.
Well, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Huge. You know, and here's an interesting tidbit about the Aborigines. They knew he was coming before he even knew of them. So for
I'm
the
laughing.
Last four
of course
minutes,
they did.
Yeah, of course they did. They're so tuned into the grid. So they had, for the last 4 months, been coming up with metaphors and things that he would understand. They brought in a woman who was part English, part Aboriginal, so she could communicate to him, because he wasn't telepathic like they are. Mm-hmm. And they were told by the big guy, that's a genderless term for, you know, source, divine source, creator, oneness, whatever you want to call it. And they were told by the big guy that they were to give their healing secrets to this man because he was well-respected and he would be able to take it out into the world. And so that's why they gave their secrets to us, is because they said, we civilized tribes don't really know how to use our minds. We're not really, we're just kind of unconsciously creating. And more importantly, when it comes to healing, we're really missing the mark. It's a body, mind, and spirit. They all need to be aligned and balanced. And if you don't get that emotional root, the emotional core to your illness, even if you get a blood transfusion or a car accident, there's an emotional root. If you don't get that, it's like picking the top of a dandelion. It's going to come right back again.
Well, you know, I love that. We call that, there's density sanity and there's ascended sanity. And what you're describing is that they're living in ascended sanity and describing what we call is density sanity, because to be sane to the chaos is insanity. And so, but it's sane to the one in the chaos, yet to be awake to the one in the chaos seems just as insane. So let's pick your sanity.
Let's bring this back to you for a moment, because it's a very fascinating story that you're sharing. So Gary was going through this process before you even met him.
Yep.
And you said you met him in 2001 and that your healing finished or you felt a sense of resolution in 2002. Is that correct?
You know, I'm not really sure on when I was totally healed, but yeah, that's probably a good time.
Roughly. So here's the piece I want to ask you is, what did you give up in order to resurrect yourself?
Oh, boy, that's a big question. That's an excellent question. You know, I had to give up a lot of mindsets. I was buying into a lot of beliefs of the mind that I needed to work so hard, that I didn't have time to take care of myself, that I didn't have time to meditate. You know, there's so many. I had to put myself on the list. I certainly had to put myself higher on the list. You know, now my life is so different. I eat really health, fresh, organic food. I meditate every day. I exercise every day. I'm really paying attention to that, the body, mind, and spirit in me, and paying attention really to the thoughts that I'm feeding myself, because sometimes those are more toxic than the foods that you're exposed to.
Amen. That's so true.
No, no.
That is so true.
The one thing I learned years ago when I was pursuing my psychology degree is trauma is not necessarily a single incident. In fact, the more damaging traumas are the less energetic, repetitive ones.
Exactly.
Such as that endless criticism from a perfectionistic parent.
I know that one. Yeah.
You know, as a recovering type A, I can relate. You know.
I think we're three recovering type A's here.
We definitely are. Sometimes I think it's a triple double A, or, you know, it's
I so understand.
Yeah.
And so we sometimes are our own abusers with our negative self-talk, and because it's kind of under the radar, we don't realize the extent to which we're doing that.
Yeah, that's so true.
And that's what the Aborigines talk about they came up with the term your operating system. This is what's operating in the background. I'm a recovering Catholic, and I have guilt up the kazoo. I don't even know. It's so infiltrated. And so
I hear you, sister.
I had to become aware of when it was operating quietly in the background and bring that mindfulness to it, and recognizing that guilt is one of the most toxic, unhealthy emotions for your body to deal with. It's really hard on it. So once you become aware of that, you shift it.
Well, and you have a religion where I'm also a recovering Catholic. I mean, I did the Catholic girls' school. I even went to Catholic University of America. And you know, the one thing that I find extraordinary is that with Catholics, you're guilty for being born. I mean, you're flawed from the moment you take birth with original sin. So it's a huge one.
Very interesting. It's very much a part of my I don't even know it's there. So that's where the Aborigines say you've got to become aware of these core beliefs that are creating this problem. And like you said, Sri, that perfectionistic, overdriven parent that, you know, you don't realize that's been passed down to you, that creates these problems. So it's the belief systems that you have to pay attention to and uproot them and put in more love-based, compassionate, kind belief systems in its place.
That sounds a lot easier than in actual practice. You know, when I think about the Aboriginals, how do they assist someone to restructure their belief patterning in a week?
Well, you know, and they're really very awakened, enlightened, I think very advanced in so many ways. You have to remember that he had two different healers that would talk to him all day long and help communicate what was going on and gave him an awareness. And then you also had the tribe that was also kind of working on him energetically. He may not have known it, but that was also going on. But, you know, I love how you've already touched on this without even asking. There's five steps to the healing. And in those five steps, the Aborigines use them for everything, not just for healing. And the book goes into that. But the first one was willing, which you touched on. You've got to be willing. It's like, how bad does it have to get before you're willing to make some changes or feel or whatever? And the second step is awareness, and that's what you just touched on. You have to become aware of what's going on that's creating this problem, what thought patterns. And, you know, I will challenge you on that, Sri, about it's hard. It's as hard as you think it's going to be, and that's where, who's telling you that but the mind?
Yep, that's very true.
You start challenging that.
And so the sense I get from Gary's journey, as an example for all of us, is that he went in there extremely motivated. And
well, he obviously had the willingness because he showed up, and I would suspect the awareness was already kind of bubbling.
And he walked out with a new programming that it was just up to him then to continue to maintain it, to put energy into the new beliefs and the new directions rather than be a victim of the robotic beliefs.
Exactly, exactly. He actually was incredibly skeptical. He really didn't think he'd come out. He really didn't think he'd come. And, you know, he brought a voice-activated tape recorder with him so that he'd have evidence for his children so they'd know what happened to him. And it ended up being that we used that exact dialogue from the recorder for the book. So it's beautiful stuff coming straight from the healers. But you know, he had to become aware that he had a very abusive childhood. You know, he had an alcoholic father who beat him on a regular basis. And so he had learned how to numb himself really good to emotions where he just didn't even feel them. Until he literally numbed himself physically. So
right.
He had to realize, become aware, that awareness, that step two, that this was actually a gift. His father, even though it was a really challenging thing as a human, was a beautiful gift because it taught him many things. And he started to realize that, you know, he became very independent because of his father. He learned to, you know, it really changed his life. And he needed to see it as a gift, as a blessing, which
there's another piece right there. And that recognition, moving from victimhood to gratitude. The thing I'd like to do right now is say, let's take a breath together because there's so much more to explore.
Oh, my goodness. And we have callers standing by.
So we're going to take a little station break for some messages. And when we get back, let's dive back into these steps and explore how each and every one of us can harness or capture a gift right now, today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Self Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Avesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process. And then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember. Allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful Ascended Mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriAndKira.com. That's SriAndKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We are delighted to be with you today. And speaking of delight, we are delighted to be sharing a dynamic conversation on health and healing and really awakening that reminder that we have within us the capacity to be whole, happy, and live in harmony. And our guest today is Robbie Holtz, who is sharing with us about her healing journey. And Robbie, we are just having a lot of fun exploring this with you. And I'm wondering if you'd like to share your website with our listeners at this time so that they might be able to, you know, on their own, find out more about you.
Sure. There's a lot of things on my website for people. I put a lot of info up on my blog and, you know, free abundance meditation and, you know, this course that they can take integrating these steps for pay whatever they want. We just want to get this information out to people. So it's holzwellness.com, H-O-L-Z as in zebra, wellness.com. So you did pronounce it right, Sri. It's pronounced with a T in there, but that's the German pronunciation, but it's actually spelled H-O-L-Z. So, yeah.
I'm smiling because I had a German mother.
I was going to say, Sri actually lived in Germany for a while, so that doesn't surprise me.
So I'll tell you my experience with repetitive trauma.
I don't think we should go there. We don't have a long enough show.
But I'm sorry, I got giggling here. Repeat the website one more time so everybody gets it.
It's holzwellness.com, H-O-L-Z, as in zebra, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S. There's a lot of stuff up there for them.
Beautiful, beautiful.
All right. Well, you know, Sri, I'm staring here at some emails from some listeners. And we also
and we have somebody
some
standing by
who's been so patient.
Online, too. So yeah. let's welcome our caller to the conversation, Jerry from Olympia, Washington.
Namaste, Jerry. Welcome to Sri and Kira.
Hello.
Hi, sweetheart. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry.
And congratulations on all the health accomplishments.
Thank you.
I've been working on my health for many, many years now. I think it's over 15 now. I was diagnosed with leukemia and wasn't supposed to walk out of the hospital, but I'm still plodding along. It's
good
not
for
completely
you.
Healed, and I still have things to get through, but it gets better all the time, other than the physical. The physical is a challenge.
Yeah.
So I guess if you have any advice at all of where to go when you've been doing this as long as I have, I'd appreciate it.
Well, you know, we haven't gotten through all the steps, but I'll give you a couple right now that'll be helpful for you. I think it's important to get to the root of the leukemia, because that's important. And there's a number of potential, you know, things there. But what you might want to pay attention to are, you know, are you carrying too much fear that life is a struggle? Are you not bringing enough joy into your life? You know, there's some of those kind of things. Taking care of yourself and not too much criticism and fear. You want to make sure that you don't have that playing in the background, things we've talked about. The other thing you can do is, you know, is I love that we mentioned this earlier. These things are gifts. Even though leukemia can be very much of a challenge, they are gifts. And that there are blessings here to
shift. It really has.
Yeah. So become empowered. Take back your power. And it sounds like you have, to a large extent, the fact that you've had 15 years of this and you've survived what the doctors didn't think you could. So take back your power. Know that your body wants to heal. Most of us are not supposed to have these illnesses. Yes, children come in, babies come in this way, but most of us are not supposed to have this stuff. We're supposed to heal. And that the fifth step is really important, and that's focus. You focus on the wellness. You focus on your body already healed. You go to that. Because every time you say, I have leukemia, you're giving power to the leukemia, and the body kind of creates that subconsciously. So you want to start focusing on, I have a healthy, vibrant body, and I'm creating healthier cells every minute. Thank that body for creating healthy cells. Pay attention that you bring more love-based emotions into your life. And especially with leukemia, what would be really helpful is to really bring a lot of joy into your life, a lot of gratitude, and you know, stop the criticism, any judgments, any self-sabotaging stuff that might be going on. It really is very simple, Jerry. It comes down to either fear-based emotions or love-based emotions. And if you're in these gratitude and forgiveness are extremely healing emotions. You're hanging out in that. You're raising your vibration. Disease can't sustain in that stuff. But if you're in the fear-based stuff, it's kind of a swampy, monkey, energy can't flow, and it is a breeding ground for disease. So just focus again on what you want and be more in these love-based emotions.
So beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think
said.
I have so much of the fear base anymore, because, you know, when you do it as long as I have, it just is. I try to find teaching moments for people that I work with, and also I try to do more of the joy stuff. But I think that's the problem there, is there isn't enough joy in my life.
Well, you know, Jerry, Sri and I are sitting here smiling. We don't mean to interrupt you, honey, but I wanted, Sri and I need to jump in here because we see so much around you. I'm going to let Sri start.
First off, I want you to take a deep breath and just relax and trust that you're in the right place at the right time.
Absolutely.
Right now.
I love that you are our first caller.
And I want to say congratulations on your success. And truly, I mean that, that you are living a successful life, and your life is a gift. And when your symptomology still is nipping around the edges for this many years, there is something beneath the radar.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not that you're making a mistake. There's just something else waiting to be discovered. And that can be flushed out by doing some additional forgiveness work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process that that we teach many workshop participants. It takes 7 days of journaling to flush out what's beneath our radar in the subconscious. And I'd be very happy to share that process with you if you send an email to guest@shriankiraradio.com. That's G-U-E-S-T. And we'll just share it with you. And joy is the anecdote, because your blood is carrying, the symbology of the blood is it's carrying the message of joy to every tissue in the body.
Woo!
Because your heart's song is the organ symbolically of why you took birth. You took birth in a human body, it has a heart, it's pumping blood, and the blood is the carrier of your joy. And that message has got to get to every tissue to have vitality.
And you see how, because of the leukemia, it's so tied together. And so my angel, I just want to share one more thing with you today. And that is, if you bring your hands to your heart, and if it's safe to close your eyes, there are all these incredible beings dancing around you. And they say that your joy is found in the motion of song. And they're talking about toning. They're talking about dancing. They're talking about even just closing your eyes and seeing yourself dancing and toning. And that the more that you can call harmony into you, the easier it will be for this blood flow of joy to be restored. And the easier it will be for you to carry this. And it's so funny. They're saying, when you feel less than, sing a song. When you feel concerned, hum a tune. When you feel concerned, jump into the water and giggle. And that these energies will assist you to keep moving forward. And they also say that for you right now, there's a resonant energy in the power of four. And I think it's kind of fascinating that with you right here and the three of us, that's already your first four. They're talking about the next 4 weeks and the next 4 months are a rare opportunity for you to be supported in a way you have not been supported before, to really lift through that. And so again, you're already creating your own miracles. You were the first caller today that got on the show. I'm not even sure we'll be able to take another caller today. So you're already creating your own miracles, and we are really grateful that you called, Angel. Many blessings.
Thank you.
No, we are out of time.
But thank you, and we love you, and namaste.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a wonderful thing when we begin to recognize that we do have co-creative power.
Whoo, yeah.
And that moment of recognition is an empowerment moment. Because so often we get in the habit of being a victim to our circumstances that we forget there's another attitude.
Indeed. And, you know, Robbie, I have an email here that came in, and I want to read this and get your feelings for this woman as well. Are you open to that?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So this beautiful woman has written us, and I'm just going to summarize it because she really took a lot of time to send us this email today. But let me just read it. She's actually writing about her mom. Her mother's name is Verna. And she says that Verna is dealing with a terrible physical autoimmune illness and firmly believes she's being attacked by an entity that causes her daily severe pain. And she hears the voice. And then she goes on, I'm paraphrasing. She goes on to talk about how her mom's a very metaphysical, self-ascended woman. 2 weeks ago, she had a fall, no broken bones, but her knee has been hurting. She refuses to go to the doctor, saying that it's the entity causing the knee pain and that also caused her to fall. She also says that she's being choked when she eats. Her fingers are crippled when she tries to play the piano. And so she says, for my dad who lives with her and myself, we've arrived to a point where this needs to be addressed for what's truly going on here. And they've talked about that. And you know, she's asking, is there an outside entity? Is there unhealed trauma? That this woman did have a few major traumas in her 20s and 30s. She's now, let me see here, 75 years old. And so without reading, there's a lot more about another disease that came in about 6 years ago. And so there's a lot more going on here about how there's times she's dehydrated, other symptoms. So I guess my question is, and her question to us is, and I'm going to pass this one to you first. She says, please let me know how you would go about helping her. The better you explain it to me, the more clearly I can pass this on to her. And so hearing this, and I really did paraphrase this, but I already know that you know where to go with this, Robbie. So let me turn this over to you.
Okay. Wow. There's so much there I would love to address. And we have so little time. I think the very first thing, the most important thing I would say to, and I appreciate that we have loved ones we want to help, is accepting. And isn't that interesting? That's the one step we haven't talked about yet. That's the third step, is acceptance. Accepting Verna's journey, her mother's journey. It may not be the choices sometimes. It may not be what you want them to go through, but it is her, it's Verna's journey, and you have to accept her choices, her pace, whatever she chooses is exactly right for her. So that's important. And where a lot of us get into trouble is not wanting our loved ones to go through pain, to go through some of these things that is necessary for their soul's journey. So
that is so true.
Well, yeah, and then we're at war with God, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really important. What I'm also getting, and I, you can obviously chime in if you feel differently, but what I'm getting from my guides is that this entity is not necessarily a dark entity, that it's a way of getting her attention, but I'm a big fan of using my guides. I have this, as you know, we have teams of ancestors and higher self and loved ones and ascended masters and angels and spirit guides and totem animals. I mean, it's endless. They're waiting to assist us, but because it's a free will planet, they cannot just step in. We need to ask for their help. So I would take this back to Jerry as well. Ask for their help. Ask them to help you become aware of what's holding you back, to help you bring more joy into your life, to help you heal this. And I would also say this for Verna, that, you know, if you feel you need protection, ask Archangel Michael to protect. But I'm getting that this entity, that this being is actually there to assist her. So just, and anything always is love. Always love. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. So you don't approach anything with fear. You approach it with love. Love overcomes everything. So
indeed,
you know,
it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would approach all of this with love and find out, you know, autoimmune system, as you know, because you dealt with lupus, it's a lot of fear throughout the entire body. It's a lot of stuff that's just been blocked and held in, and so you need to release it. So, again, this is Verna's choice, how she chooses to deal with it. Yes, you can support her and give her some advice when she asks for it, when she looks for it, when she wants it from you. It's really been, you know, I had some family members that had life-threatening illnesses, and I knew my support role was to be there unconditionally loving them and supporting them in their choices.
And let me ask you this. When you were there in that role, you were in a sincere space, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is the point, and this is what I want to just also share to our beloved one, Kimian. Kimian, as you're listening to everything that Robbie's sharing, and I know you're listening, Angel, I want to share this with you as well. Remember this one basic premise: frustration repels and sincerity attracts. And in your email, I see the extreme amount of frustration you're going through, the frustration your mom, Verna, is going through, the frustration your father is going through. And so the three of you together, because you're frustrated, are actually repelling the energy of healing. The sincerity to help her is coming from a frustration place versus coming from a place of, as Robbie just said so beautifully, acceptance. It's time to accept that Verna's experience will bring her where she needs to go. And the best thing you can do right now is offer her your sincere support in her journey versus the frustration of trying to shift it.
And I love that piece, Robbie, that you shared. Why not have a deeper communion with this entity?
Exactly.
Why not either, if she's able to telepathically communicate, to sit down and say, help me.
Yeah.
Let's collaborate. Or
right.
If that isn't there, then to do some journaling around it. To turn this into a healing group rather than a hurtful experience.
Exactly. And, you know, I love this because this is such, it's really at the core of it. But Robbie, it brings me to one thing. Now, tell me if I'm right. I've been tracking with you, and here's what I've got written down so far, and you correct me if I'm wrong. You've got these five steps published in your book that I'm sure everybody's going to need to get. So step number one, willingness. Step number two, awareness. Step number three, acceptance. Step number five, focus. So are we just missing four? Is that where we're at?
Four was empowerment.
Empowerment. All right.
Right. Just because.
Did I get him right? Are we in the right order?
You did. You get a
woo-hoo!
Gold star. Yes.
Right.
She's a good student.
I went to Catholic school.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now I'm going to look at that penmanship next.
Exactly. Don't you dare.
No, we don't go there. We just don't go there.
Yeah. No, we don't. Trust me.
And that, isn't that something we've learned that? We've learned to stop that judgment and that criticism, because that is such a big part of this. It really is very simple. And that's what the Aborigines would say, is we just complicate everything. It's very simple. It's love-based stuff. When you're hanging out in this fear-based stuff, and really control issues, it's fear. That's why you want to control and fix other people's lives. And that comes up in the book about not being a rescuer or a victim, but to be a master and allow other people to live their life without you having to fix it or to them fixing you. That's empowerment, again, taking your power back. So there's just so many things that we could talk about, but it comes back to that love. It really is, if you're in love-based emotions, like you said, the sincerity, the forgiveness, the gratitude, joy, that is creating a healthy, vibrant cell and body, and the energy is flowing and the chakras are moving. Whereas if you're in these fear-based emotions like envy, you know, some of the heavy-duty ones are self-hatred and guilt, you know, anger, resentment, that's going to create a different cell that just energy doesn't flow. It's just sticky and mucky, and that's when disease can take place. So
absolutely,
it's very simple. Yeah. Paying attention to, are you marinating in a lot of thoughts and emotions that are love based or fear based? And I know that there's a lot of love that Kimian has for Verna, and I know that's coming from her father as well. But if you're sending out a lot of emotions that are kind of fear-based, that's not helping anybody, because you guys know whatever energy you're in, it's emanating off you. And
well, you know, it is. And I want to take this to another person that sent us an email, and I love this. This one came in from Lorraine, and it's a different take on what we're talking about here, Robbie, but I know you're going to flow with this one beautifully, because it's very much about healing in our spiritual realm, I think, Sri. So let me read this. This is fabulous. This came in from Lorraine, and she said, hi, Sri and Kira. Over the past few weeks, I've had two similar encounters with religious people that I didn't know how to handle. And in her particular case, she said she's always been actually repelled by formal religion, and it's never felt good to her. She says, so the first conversation was about Jesus being our savior and you can't get into heaven unless you invite him into your heart. And the second one was a man who believed there's a spiritual war going on between God and Satan, and told me how Satan was a dragon before he was a snake, that the Bible is the ultimate literal truth, and all this other nonsense about how the world will unfold, and it seemed distorted. Now here's what she says. As I listen to these people, I have memories of the Jehovah Witnesses knocking on the front door, wishing I wasn't part of this conversation because it makes me feel uncomfortable, as if someone is pushing their lies into my psyche, trying to infuse doubt that I need to believe what they believe or I'm not going to be saved. They're all very firm in their beliefs, and I'm not trying to judge them. But here's what she says. What is the right thing to say to get someone off your back? I'm not looking to convert anyone or push my wisdom onto them. Should I even say anything? Am I obligated as I awaken to help these people or say something that may spark doubt within them that their beliefs are wrong? And then she has a lot more here, and she says, I wasn't stirred by the fear and worry that this man was feeling about the events taking place in the world, because I've always been very polite and they were unable to infuse any doubt in me, but maybe I'm too polite. Anyway, so I'm just, what's your, because there's a healing moment here. I think there's a really powerful healing moment.
Everything that comes into your life is an opportunity. It's every single thing that comes in your life is an opportunity. It comes back to, again, there's so many things we could address. The rescuer, no, it's not up to you to rescue them. There's nothing wrong. Everybody has different things come to them that's exactly what they need for their spiritual journey. And so that's why some of these religions play a part in everybody's lives. It may not work for you, but it may be exactly what they need. So there's no, it comes back to that acceptance again. Mm-hmm. And now set boundaries if you need to, but always operate out of love. Always come from your heart and that compassion. Agreed. You can find a kind thing to say, or, you know, you always come from the heart. That's the key. But, you know, I had to say that when I had a hard time with smokers, I lost some family members because they were smokers, and I had a really hard time accepting smoking. And I found that my life, Spirit just made sure that I was surrounded by smokers until I learned to accept that that was simply their choice. Nothing wrong with it. That was what they needed to experience in this particular moment of their lives. When I started accepting smokers, I noticed, in not having a problem with it, I noticed that they went away.
Mm-hmm. So, well, because there was, again, sincerity versus frustration.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things I want to jump in here, Lorraine, one of the things you asked for were some specific words. And I want to offer you this, because what Robbie's saying is exactly what you want to offer, which is that love. And whenever Sri and I encounter people that come up to us and want to, you know, tell us either why we're wrong or what we need to be doing or why their beliefs are correct or why anything else, one of the things that we do is we bring our hands to our heart. I look them straight in the eye and I thank them. I say, you know, and yeah. Here's the exact words we use, Lorraine. I say, thank you for loving me enough to share with me. And I need you to hear that I love myself enough to feel good about what I'm doing as well. And then don't engage the conversation anymore.
Yeah, it's a topic I choose not to engage with you at this time.
But thank you for loving me enough to share and respect that I love myself enough to move forward. And so, Robbie, I agree. I mean, it's all about bringing it back to love space. And I love your smoking. I'm also an ex-smoker. I love that parent, what you're saying, because it's the truth. When we bring our sincere heart, when we open up our doorway, the universe clears the path. It always gets cleared. But when we're frustrated or feeling frustrated or angry, all we're doing is repelling what we really want.
Well, and there's more than one strategy to solve any situation. And when we allow ourselves to center in our heart, to be at peace with what's going on, there's multiple strategies and healthy ones at that. When we're in a place of repulsion or frustration or impatience, what we're really saying is, I'm trying to control. And so, once again, we appreciate that reminder that love is the healer, and love expresses through us in multiple ways.
Exactly. And you know, Robbie, what's amazing is when we're having a good time and we're in a love space, time flies. As time is flying on our show now. So I want to invite you, if you had a minute or two to offer some words for our guests, and to make sure that you include your book title and your website again, what would you want people to remember today? If they had one nugget to remember from you, what would that be?
I think, wow, that's such, there's so many things. I guess the biggest thing is what we've talked about. Love is the answer. And to just pay attention to what the mind is feeding you and not buying into it. I just observe it, but don't buy into it, and pay attention to when it's feeding you love-based thoughts and emotions, and when it's feeding you fear-based, and choose the love-based.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. And so for our listeners today, we've been delighted to be sharing with Robbie Holtz. And you can find Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, A Physicist's Journey with a Remote Australian Tribe, at multiple locations. Do a web search on that.
Yep.
And pick up a copy and use it to help stimulate your own healthy awakening.
Yeah. Follow Robbie's 5 steps there: willingness, awareness, acceptance, empowerment, and focus. That's certainly a magic bullet. And Robbie, how can people, what's your website again?
I believe it was
Holes Wellness, wasn't it? HOLZWEELNESS. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you give yourself the gift of joining in with that. You know, Sri, I'm so excited about today's show as the first show in our series this month, because again, I want to share with everyone, August is a powerful month. August is heating up. If ever there was a time to take charge of your health, if ever there was a time to take charge of you, this is the month, because everything around you is conspiring. I love how Robbie and her husband, both, including you and I think a lot of us on our spiritual journey, a lot of us on our healing journey, have had to hit that rock bottom moment before you wake up.
Well, or we think we're at rock bottom.
Right, right.
You know, and you that's know, it's amazing. Right. It's amazing how many bottoms there might be.
We're not going there.
Well, it can happen. And each and every one is a threshold moment.
It is. And we're here.
That's really the magic.
Right. And August is here for the planet. We're going to be at that moment on so many levels. So, hey, remember, guys, join us live in our free teleworkshop and workshop. worldwide ceremony, August 6th, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can get on this free. Just send your email to support@selfascension.com. Again, that's support@selfascension.com. And we will send you the free call-in details, a powerful workshop and ceremony, our gift to you and to the world as we are heating up in August.
Remember that you are the center of the cyclone. And I borrowed that term from a writer that I admire. When we live in the periphery, we get whipped by the wind. When we return to the center of our hearts, to the center of our being, we begin to see the truth of things. We begin to see that maybe those thoughts in our mind are not dictates. Maybe they're just passing clouds.
Indeed. And, you know, if you haven't been to YouTube yet, go to Official Sri and Kira and watch two short videos, our August 2014 predictions and our August 2014 Archangelic Message for the World, both very timely, both very powerful.
And so, beloved listeners, our time today has come to a close, and we invite you to remember that with every deep breath, you are opening your hearts, and as you open your hearts, may you remember that all is truly well. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.